This is the second sermon in our series, summer holiday series through the book of Proverbs. Last week we looked at chapter 1, this week mainly chapters 2 and 3. And so let's take up at the beginning of chapter 2. And, well, it's a bit of structure to this sermon. If you think about it, it's three R's. Repetition, the root or the recipe, and then the results of wisdom. And in the repetition bit, there's an FGH, but you'll hopefully see it as we go through. If you're writing any notes, that may be helpful. Chapter 2, verse 1. In this first part of chapter 2, it reminds us of some of the keys to being wise. And remember, it's a bit about this is about being wise in the rough and tumble of life. Not wise like some philosopher locked in a tower, but streetwise. That's the wisdom that we see in Proverbs. And a lot of the language is like you're out on the street. And which way are you going to go? Chapter 2, verse 20. Therefore, walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the just. Or chapter 3, verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Being wise, being streetwise, choosing good ways and avoiding bad ways. That's part of how we learn to be wise. And then going back to the beginning of chapter 2, my child, if you accept my words and treasure up my commandments within you, and so on. We see in this part repetition of things that are important if we're wanting to learn to be wise. Remember the key verse from chapter 1 from last week is verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And now, here in chapter 2, verse 5, some repetition with that F, fear. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge, the wisdom of God. Now, I know some people are troubled by the use of the word fear, but I'm not. I think fear has a big role in positive and negative situations. In the book of Isaiah 33:14, you see this situation where the godless start to fear God, and it's really good for them. They start to recognize that God's right and wrong matters and that they need to do something about their sin, because sinners face a troubling future. Now, that sort of fear is helpful because it helped to turn around their lives as they realized that the Lord would hold them to account and they needed to change and seek salvation from the Lord who was ready to give it. And there's another role for fear in the positive learning of wisdom. Believers do well to fear God too. And here's an illustration. Try and imagine yourself in a secondary school class on a Monday morning, or maybe on a Friday morning, and you hear your teacher is off for the day. Now, it's my contention, I don't know if it's yours, that how much you might learn that day depends quite a lot on whether your class, you and your class, has a healthy fear of the stand-in teacher. Because whether I have a healthy fear of them does affect how I'm going to behave with them. Well, it certainly did as a teenager in class. Now, who walks into class but a young supply teacher? Do I fear? Probably not. So it's more likely a morning where my classmates and myself see what we can get away with, how far we can push it, because we'll probably not see that supply teacher again. Now, say it was not a supply teacher, but it was the headmistress who was standing in that morning in our class. Do I fear? Probably do. The head has a big influence on my future, so I better behave well and learn well. Might get back to my mum and dad. The head has earned respect and is in charge. It's a healthy kind of fear, which demands my best behavior. So God's people are called to be God-fearers. It's right and good and healthy. We fear the Lord because we respect the Lord above all. And the fear of the Lord, well, the fear of the Lord begins at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's sort of fear and awe and amazing respect which cannot but change us in the right direction. So if that's one thing to remember, the F of the fear of the Lord, and to repeat, because if you repeat things, you remember them. Then the second one is the G, which is there in verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. Remember, wisdom is a gift from God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Remember, we're not wise because we're intelligent. Wisdom's a gift from God. It's not about being clever. It's not about age and experience. Wisdom is a gift from God. God gives wisdom and we use it and gain more. And that's how we grow in wisdom. F, G, H. One more thing in the first verses of this chapter, and several of the chapters actually, which are a reminder, a repetition, of the most likely place to gain wisdom. Something beginning with H. Not the school or the university or the bookshop or the internet. They're not the places to gain wisdom above all other places. The place that Proverbs gives us is the home. Look at the number of times we're reminded of the main context of the lessons in wisdom. These lessons. Chapter 2, verse 1, my child. Chapter 3, verse 1, my child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Chapter 3, verse 11, my child, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. Chapter 4, verse 1, listen, children, to a father's instruction. Be attentive that you may gain insight. I give you good precepts. And so on. When I was a son with my father, tender, and my mother's favorite, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. The home, the hurly-burly of the home is the best place to gain wisdom. The place, well, it's a place where it's hardest to get away with things, usually. It's the place where street wisdom is honed, where mum and dad and others take responsibility for training children and others to be wise, so that when they go out into the streets, they are streetwise. So chapter 2 and the section we're looking at has repeated the context of gaining wisdom. FGH. Fear, gift, home. Now we'll move towards the root or the recipe to being wise, which is made clear in chapters 2 and 3 as a whole. And the thing to notice is that it's to do with our hearts. It's not a head thing. It's a heart thing. Our hearts, the center of our being. And can you see how this crops up again and again through this section? Chapter 2, verse 2. Inclining your heart to understanding, to wisdom. 3, verse 1. My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Don't just store it away in your head. Let your heart have this wisdom. 3, verse 3. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And this section goes right through to the end of 4:23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. So that phrase, keep your heart, or guard your heart, really important one if we want to grow in wisdom. Now, King Solomon, this is the Solomon spot, had learnt this from his father. King David, who used to be a shepherd boy, was plucked from his obscurity and made king. Why did the Lord call David to be king? Why did David stand out from the crowd in the eyes of the Lord? I think it's 1 Samuel 16, but don't look at it right now. We'll move on and I'll give you the answer. It said this, "The Lord does not see as people see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Yes. So being wise is about guarding your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. And what's that about? Well, it's about getting wisdom in and keeping foolishness out. I've noticed at airports these days there are a lot of guards. And there needs to be guards. There need to be guards at arrivals and there need to be guards at departures in order to have no weak points in your airport. So you guard what comes in and you guard what comes out. So it is with a wise heart. Get wisdom in. Keep foolishness out. But first of all, getting wisdom in. As we've said, it's not an arm's length academic exercise. It's described in rather intimate language. And I think the best description is at the beginning of chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. How do you gain and keep wisdom in your heart? He taught me and said to me, "Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live." So what's this about? Well, verse 5, get wisdom, get insight, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. First of all, it's about being an urgent student. You do get that, don't you, in that verse? Get wisdom, get insight, don't forget. Be an urgent student of wisdom. And then in verse 6, be a faithful lover of wisdom. Here the language turns slightly fruity. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. It's still talking about wisdom, but it's talking about gaining wisdom by loving it passionately. And then in verse 7, it's the language of the investor. Be a focused investor in wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom, invest in wisdom. Whatever else you get insight. Be focused. So, to extend an illustration, getting wisdom is not like being a painter and decorator, where you work hard for an hour or two, and then you sit back and let it dry. Have a cup of tea, watch to see how well it's covered before you have another go. That might be a scurrilous misrepresentation of painting and decorating, which I have done a bit of in my time, but probably not enough to be an expert. Forgive me, any experts out there. But you get the impression of what I'm saying. And getting wisdom is not like that job. It's like the job of a person who pushes boulders uphill. Can you stop for a tea break? Can you be half-hearted about it? There's a lot of silence here. Obviously, not many of you are uphill boulder pushers. Can you lose focus for one moment? You can't. Getting wisdom in your heart is a full-on, personally committed task, as shown by those illustrations of being an urgent student, a faithful lover, a focused investor. That is what getting wisdom in is about. And, well, a similar tact to keeping wickedness or foolishness out. You have to avoid it. Avoidance may sound like weakness, but Jesus knew the strength of avoidance. He knew the importance of getting away from a situation as it turned nasty. In Psalm 1, verse 1, the whole of the book of Psalms starts with avoidance. The way to be happy? Avoid the advice of the wicked. Avoid following the path which sinners go. Avoid getting in amongst the scoffers, the mockers, the moaners. Avoid that stuff. Keeping wickedness out of your heart. Avoidance is part of that. It's the other side of the same coin as getting wisdom in your heart. So how are we doing? That was the recipe, or the route, to growing in wisdom. And now we come to the results, the repetition, the recipe or route, and the results. And this is what chapter 2 and 3 talk about as well. Can you see in the part that we read from this morning, verse 20 and following of chapter 2? What result comes from being wise here? Therefore, walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the just, for the upright will abide in the land, and the innocent will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. So my result begins with L. What's the main result in there? Longevity is what I've got. Long life. Length of days. The land, the inheritance of the land. So being wise helps you live longer in the same direction and live better. I guess I could point out that we've had three people in this congregation make it to be 100 years old, just in my time. But it's not really the point. Longevity is not just about wisdom. And the mention of the land in verses 21 and 22 is suggesting the promised land, the inheritance which God had prepared for his people and kept for his people. The promised land for the New Testament people of God, us, is a place in heaven, in Jesus' Father's house with many rooms, at the wedding feast of the Lamb, at the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. Being wise helps us live longer and better. Being wise helps us live longer because we live in the same direction, which helps a lot. And being wise enables us to receive our place in heaven. Longevity, the first result of wisdom. Now, second result is in verses 3 and 4. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and people. Good reputation. Wisdom improves our reputation with God and with other people. Third result, in verse 5 and following, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Can you see how the same themes repeat themselves? It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. So a refreshing, healing trust is what this is talking about as a result. Because self-reliance is a trap. I go in bookshops sometimes, and I go to the section hidden upstairs, usually, that says something like spirituality or religion, and I find books, full of books, on self-fulfillment. But self-reliance is a trap, and self-fulfillment can so easily turn into a vicious circle of indulgence. What it's saying here is, this is what's healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body, trusting in the Lord, not relying on yourself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This refreshing, healing trust is the third result. Then the fourth benefit of wisdom in verses 9 and 10, God's generous provision as you give him your first and your best. It's a two-way giving thing. We give of our best, the Lord gives generously. A fifth benefit, result of wisdom, in verse 11 and 12, continuing training, discipline, reproof, continuing direction and purpose. My child, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves the one he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. When Geoffrey Firth was here as a curate, he wanted to join the RAF. It was clear to lots of us and himself that he'd need quite a severe fitness regime in order to pass the test. His physical. He had about 6 months to get in shape, and he decided to hire a personal trainer. He really wasn't looking forward to it, but when he did, he loved it. He found the whole regime of all that very satisfying, very fulfilling. And with this personal trainer, he kept going and he got there. And he passed his RAF physical. And he continues to like exercise and that sort of regime, because being pushed hard for a good reason, being shown how to keep on track, even being told off in a nice way for the sake of the goal of not passing out, not fainting or falling over, but passing out at RAF Cranwell and receiving a commission and a commendation. It's just very, very exciting and releasing is what he found, that whole dynamic. And being wise brings these sort of results and benefits. Okay, you'll notice it takes time and application, and the benefits are still not automatic. The wise may well suffer, but the benefits of wisdom are true and fulfilling. Well, there we have repetition, the root or recipe, and the results. As we're getting going now in the book of Proverbs, we'll take up again next week at chapter 7. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that your word can change our lives for the better, day by day, as well as into the future. Please, may we be those who repeat and remember what you say about wisdom. Please, Lord, may we be those who follow the route, who use the recipe to gaining wisdom. Please may we be the ones who see the results. For your name's sake, amen.